we worship, I'm just reminded of the fact that so many times we sort of come to God with this thing within us that we feel that we need to be good all the time for God to offer, for God to accept our praise and worship to Him. And I'm just reminded every time the fact that regardless of whatever we do, He still loves us. He still loves us. There are no conditions attached to His love for us. Isn't that beautiful? It just blows me away every time. Like every time whenever I speak and every time whenever we worship and that, I just say to myself, God, I thank You that You love me. God, I thank You that my failings don't stop me from accepting Your love for me. God, I thank You that my failings does not determine Your love for me. Because it's actually God's love that changes us radically. It's not what we do, or it's not how we sort of dress ourselves in terms of lifting up our hands and screaming, shouting and that. It's all our expressions of worship. But what God is attracted is that broken heart within us, where we understand that, God, I know I'm weak. God, I know I failed today miserably. God, I know I failed miserably this whole week. God, am I even Christian? And yet God's whispering in our ears like, yes, I love You. I've always loved You. I always will continue to love You. Amen. Amen. And that just keeps us going. That just keeps me going every day. Because, hello, like, if you only knew my life, you'd be like, oof, Dan, are you even a Christian? Are you even saved? I'd be like, oh, well. That's the sort of question I ask myself every day. Am I saved? Am I Christian? Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. And it's such a joy for me to actually share the Word of God with you wonderful people. And we need God, don't we? We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit to actually open up this Word for us so that we could understand what God wants to say to us today. Amen. So before even we go into Scripture and that, let's just wait upon the Lord and let's just still ourselves for a moment, please. Let's just do that. Because we need Him. We need Him. We so need Him. Jesus. God. Jesus. Jesus. God, we come before You, Lord. Lord, and we recognize our weaknesses, Lord. Lord, we recognize our emptiness without You, Lord. Lord, we do so many things, Lord God, to fill that void and the emptiness within us, Lord. But we know, Lord God, that it's only Your love and Your presence, Lord, that completely fills that void within us. And so, God, we come before You, Lord, and we open up our hearts to You, Lord. Speak to us today, Lord. Speak to us today, Lord. We just pray, Lord God, as we look into Your Word, Lord, and as we dwell upon lots of different thoughts, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that You will speak to us today. Refresh our very hearts, Lord. Refresh our very lives. Because we need You, Lord. Everything that we do, Lord, without You, we don't want it, Lord. Everything that we present, Lord, if You're not in the middle of it, we don't need it, Lord. God, grass is green when it's fake and when it's watered. Lord, we don't need that fakeness, Lord. We need You, Lord. So, God, we come before You, Lord. Speak to us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I was in a conference a few weeks ago. Actually, it was last week, not a few weeks ago. What am I saying? I must be dreaming or something. Wake up, Dan, wake up. So it was last week. I went to a conference. And there was this preacher called Eric Gilmore. He's from America. And he was preaching about being in the presence of God. And he said something that really spoke and really challenged the living daylights out of me. And he said, the very sin nature within us, if we don't dig down to the root and pull it out from the root, regardless of how much and whatever we do to cut the grass, it's still going to grow again. So the issue is the root within our lives. We can actually have all the flowers and we can have all the green grass and that on the surface. But what matters the most is the root that's within our lives. And for me, like, I just thought that is a challenge. Because I can make myself look good in front of you guys all day long. But is that doing me any good? Is that actually doing me any good? Because the only person I'm cheating is myself. I'm actually stopping myself from actually recognizing the call of God in my life. Now I'm actually pushing myself away from the presence of God. I'm actually pushing myself away from what God wants me to do. And so many times we're caught up in so much sort of busyness of our lives that we actually don't even hear the voice of God. And that's what we want to do today. We want to hear the voice of God. When was the last time we heard the voice of God in our lives? When was the last time we said to ourselves, you know what, I'm just going to give my few minutes away and I'm going to sit in the presence of God just to actually listen to His voice. Not just me bringing loads of stuff to Him, but Him actually speaking to me. Because in us speaking to Him, that makes us ready to move forward again. Because when we make ourselves available to God, God speaks through us. Amen? Amen. Amen. So if you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Luke, chapter 10. Luca ko dosma yun solai. Luca ko dos tawel Bible yun bago tony. If you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 26. We'll be looking from Luke chapter 10, verse 26. Actually, let's look from verse 25. And I'm sure we're all familiar with this story, the Good Samaritan. And there's lots of sketches that people put out there as Good Samaritan actually being nice, being a helper, and all the sort of stuff. So I'm just going to highlight a few bits in this scripture, and I really want God to speak to us and challenge us and really sort of push us forward to the things of God. So verse 25, this is what he says. Luke 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And can we see that? It says, an expert in the law. So this man is well educated. This man knows his stuff. Yet he comes to Jesus to not learn from Jesus, but to test Jesus. And this is what he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I just love how Jesus responds all the time. He's not messing about. He's straight on the point. He's like, what is written in the law? Come on. You've studied. You've spent years like devoting yourself in the... Excuse me. That is very bad. You've spent years actually devoting yourself in the Word of God. You tell me. And this is what Jesus actually says to him again. How do you read it? How do you read it? So Jesus is like, yes, okay, you tell me, you learn from it. Another question of Jesus is, how do you read it? And I suppose that's very important for every one of us as we study the Word of God and as we devote ourselves into the Word of God, that how do we understand the Scripture? Because we can have all sort of knowledge and we can have all sort of different interpretations of the Word, but yet if we're not applying that into our lives, let me say that, if we're not applying that into our lives, it all becomes facts. It all becomes information. It's not doing what it's supposed to do to our lives. And yet Jesus is asking him, so how do you read the text? And this is what he replies. He says, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. He knows his stuff. He's like, it didn't even take him like long to think about it. He just replied. He's like, oh, love the Lord your God with all your heart. He knew his stuff. And he also says, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, yes, you have answered correctly. Hooray! You know that, you know all this stuff. You've answered correctly. Then Jesus says again, and I just love it again. He challenges the man again. He's like, okay, do this and you will live. He's like, why are you even asking me this question? You already know this stuff. Just go and do it. And this expert in the law, he's like, okay, is that it? And he, so the further verses says, but he wanted to justify himself. He's like, that's not enough, Jesus. I want to make myself look good in front of you. So he says, and so who is my neighbor, Jesus? You tell me, who is my neighbor? And in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Oof. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he put the man on his own donkey, brought him, which means he was walking. He put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took denarii. People say denarii, whatever, but I say denarii, and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. And this sort of challenges us that so many times when we read the text, we unknowingly might use it to find fault in other people's lives. And I'm not suggesting that every people does this, but sometimes we search the text just to make ourselves feel good. And we search the text even to point faults within other people's lives. And that's what Pharisees and other people were doing back in time. They knew this stuff and they justified their act by backing it up with the scripture. Yet the context was completely different. Pharisees actually dressed themselves with the scriptures, yet their hearts were so much far away from God. And even in this case, that Jesus is actually not challenging about our knowledge of the Word of God. Yes, we need to knowledge ourselves with the Word of God. Yes, we need to develop ourselves in the Word of God. But Jesus is actually talking about the application of the Word of God. Jesus wants us to apply the Word of God into our lives. Because it's not the knowledge that changes us. Yes, knowledge will make us clever. Knowledge will make us smarter. But it will not change us. Revelation does. Amen? Revelation does. And how does that revelation come about? When we not just listen to the Word of God, but when we take time and meditate on the Word of God. There's a difference. Reading the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God. And Jesus, in His very Word, He said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet lose his own soul? And I'm going to rephrase that again to this context. What good is it for a man to have all the knowledge in the world, yet not know himself and not know Jesus? Wow. What good is it for a man to have all the knowledge, yet not know Jesus and not know himself? A person can have all the knowledge, but he might not know who Jesus is. He might not know who Jesus is. And that challenges me every day. Because I'm a very information-driven person. And I love information. I love jam-packing my head with lots of information. I love that. I love it. And, yeah, I love it. But every time I sort of challenge myself, Dan, you've got all this information. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? I can have all the information and I can justify the fact that I don't need to spend time in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Because this is what the scripture says. No! We can't justify our actions by backing it up with scriptures. The scripture clearly says, obey the word of God. The scripture clearly says in Proverbs and in Psalms, keep my commandments. My son, so many times we don't wanna keep up the law. But can I just say, law is the one that changes our hearts. Relationship does, yes, but we need to keep in obedience with the law as well. And in that, when we fail, the grace of God prevails. Amen. We obey the word of God, but when we fail, the grace of God prevails. Knowledge is good, but application is better. Let's not be a fault-finding community. Let's not use scriptures to find faults within people's lives, but let's be a life-giving community where we encourage each other with the word of God. Not just poke each other, but encourage each other with the word of God. And when we look at this story, we know clearly that this man is a Jewish man. He's not like a Samaritan man or anything, because he says that he was from his way from Jerusalem, the temple, the worship. So he probably might have been just coming back from time of worship, and he's on his way to Jericho. And it is a person, when you actually look into it, this is a person, like if he's a Jewish man, he loves God in a sense. He might not know God, but in this community he's known as a godly man because Israelites itself, Jewish people, were chosen by God, so they were holy people. So he's on his way to Jericho. And on his journey, this is a very brutal journey, because back in days people had to walk for hours. And I can't even walk to the shop from here. I'm that lazy. I've just got my car. Let's go in my car. But boom, I'm there. But people had to walk for ages. Can you tell? People had to walk for ages, and people had to walk for hours, you know. And when people walked, it was dangerous, because there was lots of robbers. There was lots of gangsters, as people would say now. There were lots of gangsters. And people would be like, yo, what are you doing in my hood? What are you doing in my area? What are you doing in my place? People would be like that. So this man is on his way to Jericho, and people actually stop him and they rob him. And it is also suggested that when people used to do a long journey, they used to carry weapons with them just to protect themselves. And yet we see from the scripture that we have got this religious man and a holy man, a priest who's devoted himself to actually the study of Word of God. He sees the man half dead, but yet he walks with the other side, acting as if, pretending as if he's not seeing him, and he goes away. I'm like, come on, man, surely you know the word. Surely the word says to help people, to love people, to have compassion upon them. But yet this man walks towards the other side and pretends like he's not seeing him. And there's another man, a Levite, and he also sees him, and he's like, oh, I've not seen that. Oh, no, he's not there. And he walks away again. He walks away. And I'm like, come on, man. And we've got this other person, a Samaritan. And like, Samaritan were classed as dogs by Jewish people. Samaritans were the lowest of low people. And I think, like, they were even classed as the lower class people that people, or Jewish people, would not associate with. And Jesus, like, if you look at Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus get criticized by his own disciples, saying, Rabbi, what are you doing with her? Do you not know her? And yet, like, if you had fellowship with the Samaritan people, you yourself were actually considered as a traitor. So this Samaritan man sees this person on the floor, and like, in his head, he doesn't care about either this person is a Jewish, either this person is a Levite, either this person is, I don't know, is a Christian or not. He doesn't care about that. And what he sees a man who is desperate and who needs help. What does he do? He stops. He stoops down and he puts bandage on his wound. He puts bandage on his wound. Not only that, but he puts oil and wine, and he actually dresses this man and puts him on his own donkey. I'm like, come on, you can put wound, like, you can wrap his wound and that's fine, just leave him to the side, get on the donkey and just go. But this man doesn't do that. He actually sort of thinks about, okay, now this man is looked after, what am I going to do for him? Because it's not safe for him to be here on his own. Not only that, but this man actually jeopardizes his own life to save him. Because in that moment, if another robber would have stepped into the scene, hello mate, you'd be on that floor yourself as well. But he doesn't care about that. He acts on that very moment. He sort of like helps that person. And sometimes whenever I see that, I see the picture of Jesus as well. Because mind you, this is Jesus actually sharing the story to this expert in the law. And we don't understand, but there's little gems in the stories where Jesus actually portrays to his listeners that this is what he was going to do. But people didn't understand it. Jesus was actually showing to him, yes, you know, this man like Samaritan who sort of surrendered his own life to save him, I'm going to do the same for you as well. I'm going to jeopardize my own life so that you can have life. And this man jeopardized his own life so that the man on the floor could have life. So this man takes him to a hotel, Premier Inn or whatever, Holiday Inn. So this man takes him to a hotel, and he actually pays for this man. He not only pays for this man, but he also makes sure that if he needs any more stuff, here's my number. I'm modernizing the whole terminology. So he's like, here's my number, give me a ring if you need some more money. Wow. This man is on a destination. All three of them were on a destination. The priest, he was on a destination. He was heading towards the destination. The Levite, he was heading towards the destination. The Samaritan, he was heading towards the destination. But yet, Samaritan man stopped and he dealt with the present. Samaritan man stopped and he dealt with the present. And so many times, that is the picture of us as well. We are so caught up with the destination that we forget about the present. Wow. So many times we are caught up with the destination, heaven, that we forget about the earth. So many times we are so concerned about our future. What am I going to do after I finish Matthew? What am I going to do after I do this, to actually neglect and forget the present? What is God actually doing now? And this man here, he actually takes time and he forgets about his destination, and he actually looks after this man. He's like, this man needs help. I don't care about where he's coming from, but this man needs help. I'm going to help him. And this man actually makes time for him. And that challenges me a lot. And that is the picture of Jesus for us. Is, well, Jesus is there with us and we're praying to God, God, don't you see this? And Jesus is like, come sit down, let me minister to you. And we're like, God, don't you see this? And Jesus is like, I'm here for you, son. I'm here for you, daughter. Just make time, let me speak to you. And we're like, God, don't you care? I'm like, God's like, I'm here for you. And so many times I've done that, where I'm stressed about a lot of stuff, and I'm like, God, don't you care? Don't you see this? And Jesus is like, son, I'm with you. Son, I'm here for you. And that breaks my heart. So many times I doubt God. So many times I don't care about God. It all becomes about my own life, my own gain. And yet God's there, watching over me, protecting me, guiding me, leading me. And so many times I feel like, even me, so many times I feel like I'm using God like a cash machine. When I need money, I go to the cash machine. Thank you, Jesus. I don't need you anymore. And I walk away. And that challenges me. I don't want my relationship with Jesus to just be one-off relationship. I want it to continue. I want Jesus to speak to me every day. I want Jesus to minister to me every day. And this man here, he's focused on his journey as well. He's not just focused on the destination, but he's focused on the journey. I'm just going to give a story of my little nephew. My little nephew, like, he just loves life. And I'm so grumpy, but I look at him and he loves life. And I'm like, ugh. And he's like, and mama, which is a Nepalese word for uncle. And I keep on telling him, don't call me mama, call me uncle. He's like, mama, mama, mama. I'm like, ugh. So he calls me mama all the time. And he's like, every time we go somewhere, he's like, mama, 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 let's do this. I'm like, oh, come on, man, I'm not in the mood. And like, we're in the same room, and he's like going around my room, going around my shelves and everything, and he finds a lot of weird stuff. He picks up a paper, he's like, he makes lots of random stuff and throws it at me. And I'm like, come on, man, that's only a paper, what are you doing? And like today, like he came to my room and he grabbed this camera stand and he was just fiddling with it. And he's like, mama, I smile. And there wasn't even a camera in there. I'm like, oh, come on, man, there's no camera there. And he's just pretending that there's a camera, and he's acting like he's taking my picture. And he's sort of like, he's in the moment, he's enjoying the journey. And all I'm focused about is like, God, I want you to speak to me so that I can preach message in church. And I'm like, I'm very destination focused. But whereas my nephew is very journey focused, he's present focused. And I'm like, and not even that, but yesterday we went to Bradford and we were in this van, on this car, and like, we've got a long journey ahead of us, and the weather's not helping. It was raining a little bit, and he looks around everywhere. He's like, mama, mama, there's Asda around down the road. I'm like, yes, I can see that, there's an Asda there, so what? And he's like, mama, 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 look at that car. And he's enjoying the journey, and I'm sat there with a grumpy face. Come on, man, when are we going to get there? I just want to get there. And at that very moment, God really spoke to me. Dan, I want you to enjoy the moment. I want you to enjoy the journey. Not just be so focused on the destination and forget about the journey now. And I was like, oh, God, thank you. Because that's what I want. That's what we need. The presence of God. We are so looking at the hands of God. We want something from God. But God wants us to look in His face and speak to Him and have a relationship with Him. God wants that. And like my little nephew, he was enjoying the moment while I was so caught up with the destination that I was neglecting the moment. Verse 38, this is what it says. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, Lord,
don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself?
Tell her to help me. And I'm saying that politely, but in this context, Martha, she wasn't happy. She was like, Jesus, like, come on. I'm doing all this hard work. Look at Mary. She's doing no, she just sat there like, Jesus, are you seeing this? And the Lord Jesus replies, he's like, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha, is she doing a wrong thing? No, she's not. She's doing perfectly. Actually, she's doing a great thing. She's preparing meal for the Lord, and she's actually giving her best. But Jesus actually says to her, like, I know you're doing all this, but come on, I'm here with you. Spend time with me for now. You can prepare that later on. And so many times in our lives, we're caught up with so much of busyness of life that we actually focus and prioritize the things that are not actually important for us. The main thing should be the main thing. Small things can wait. We need to learn to prioritize the thing that is a priority in our lives. We spend so much time chasing things that's actually draining us, yet we're not achieving anything. And so many times, even the word of Jesus, we need to learn to prioritize the main thing in our lives. Mary, she actually sat down at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus and being ministered by Jesus himself. So we always ask this question, what's next? When I'm in Mass, see, everybody asks me the question now. Even when I'm talking to people, like, so Dan, what are you going to do next? I'm like, I don't know. Exactly. I'm like, come on, I've already got lots of things to worry about. He's like, everyone's like, Dan, what are you going to do? What's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? I'm like, just leave me alone. I'm worried about what's now. I've got loads of essays to do. I've got loads of things to do. And never mind what's next. I'm worried about what's now. And I think that's what we need to worry about now, because the Word of God says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow's got its own worry. We've got enough trouble today. Let's deal with that. I'm not saying that we don't need to be prepared for that. Yes, by all means, we need to be prepared for that. But what matters the most is what's happening now. So I wanna leave and finish with these three so helpful things that's actually helped me when I'm stressed out and when I'm panicking and when I'm worried about quite a lot of stuff. First of all, rest. There's three things. Rest. It's hard for every one of us to actually rest, because like, we're on the person, we like the go. We're like, go, 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 micro meal, go, fast cars, fast trains, like, everything's a quick one. We need quick, quick, quick. And especially if you're a technology person like me, like, I keep on searching a lot of new softwares and that, because I'm always so obsessed with new technology. I'm always obsessed with new softwares and that, and that's me. Sometimes, like, even with that, I need to say to myself, come on, Dan, relax, just rest. In everything that I do, rest. I know it's hard to rest, but rest. First thing first, we need to rest. When we're panicking, when we're worried about quite a lot of stuff, rest. Second stuff, look around. What's happening? Because when we look around, that actually gives us time to analyze a lot of things within our lives that we don't recognize that we're doing it wrong. Because we've got blind spots in our lives, and when we're running, we don't see what's happening around us, we don't see what's happening in us. Especially like someone who's training, and if they're training heavy without noticing anything, they might have shoelaces undone and they'll not recognize it. So it's actually good to stop and look around. Oh, I need to do my laces. Do them. And similarly, in our lives, in our journey as well, we need to rest first of all. Second of all, we need to stop and we need to look around. What's happening? Because when we're so destination focused, we forget what God's doing now. Look around. And third, continue. Don't stop there. Continue. Even if you're not making any progress, continue. Even if you're running and walking in the same place, just keep on moving your feet. Just keep on moving your feet. Because little steps matter. We try to run and we fall down and we're like, oh, it's not worth it. Hey, just keep on moving. If, like, there were so many times in my own life where I felt like, oh, I can't do this, I'm just going to throw in my towel, this is just too much. But there was something in me that was actually pushing me. And like, telling me, come on, continue. You can do this. You can do this. I've had great encouragement from Grace and Andrew. They've always been there for me, and I'm truly grateful and thankful for them. And they're really encouraging me, but in my own time, I needed the encouragement of the Lord as well. That gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit in my ear, Dan, you can do this. Times where I've doubted, I can't do this, the whisper, yes, you can do this. And how did that whisper came about? Meditating on the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. We want God to speak to us, but if we're not reading His Word, He's not going to speak to us. He speaks to us through His Word. So three things I want to leave us with. In our journey to our destination, let's not forget to rest, because we need rest. As much as we like doing lots of crazy stuff, it's good to rest. Amen? It's good to rest. Second of all, let's look around. Who's in this journey? Who needs help? Who needs encouragement? Oh, let me encourage you. Oh, I'll let him encourage me. Because one thing that stops us from moving forward is pride. I know everything. I don't need him. That sort of thing. But actually, like, we need to humble ourselves every day. I don't know everything. That's why I need him. I don't know everything. That's why I need Andrew and Grace. That's why I need you all. Because I don't know everything. And last but not the least, continue. The Word of God says continue to work on your salvation with fear and trembling. But also the Word of God says continue to keep focusing on the destination. Just don't take your eyes off destination. Yes, we need to enjoy the journey, but we need to set our sights and fix our eyes on the goal, on the prize.